All right, let's go listen to me interviewing me.
Check, check, mic check, 1, 2. That's very important that I do a microphone check for today's episode because I am recording it. Actually, I'm in my home, but the power has gone out. I'm zero power. We are zero power. We've been doing everything by candlelight since about 5 a.m. this morning. And fortunately, here's a cool little thing for you. We have solar panels on the top of the roof of our house. And so those feed backup storage power to a set of batteries in our garage. And those batteries are basically, when the municipal power fails, programmed to switch over to providing us power. But because we don't want to exhaust those battery sources for, say, watching Netflix or sitting in the sauna, they only power a very limited number of things in our home, like, you know, the Maslow's hierarchy stuff, the freezer, the refrigerator, the heat, stuff like that. So I've got no power in my office, but I do have my little laptop. God bless the MacBook with its huge, phenomenal long-term power output. And I've got my little backup microphone here, and I have an episode for you. So I'm like the mailman, come hell or high water or power outages. I come at you every time. Here's one other little tip for you. The solar panel is notorious. Solar panels in general are notorious for creating a bunch of dirty electricity because they have to convert DC to AC power. I actually have an interview about that with Brian Hoyer. I'll link to him and his Building Biology podcast with me in the show notes of this episode. But anyways, the thing you can do is you can get what's called an inverter that basically, or an inverter protector, which basically takes that solar inverter that converts DC to AC and limits the amount of dirty electricity that that thing puts off. So it's kind of a cool hack if you have a solar panel to be able to protect yourself from getting a lot of the dirty electricity that thing throws off. Anyways, I'm rabbit holing big time.
Well, if you're like me, you live a busy life. You don't really have time for many days off. That's why I talk so much about your mitochondria, because they generate about 90% of the energy your body uses. And keeping your mitochondria strong is one of the best ways to keep fatigue at bay. But these little mitochondria, darn things, are expensive to run. They use a huge amount of raw materials, especially when it comes to minerals. The problem is most people, including you and me, probably don't get enough minerals. And without minerals, your mitochondria don't have the cofactors they need to make energy. More than 97% of Americans don't get enough potassium. About 80% are deficient in magnesium. 40% are deficient in calcium. And those are three of the big ones. There's close to a dozen other trace minerals that are important for mitochondrial function, and most of us don't get enough of them, and you definitely can't get them from, say, table salt. It turns out that trying to take all the minerals you need by taking single mineral supplements isn't only hard because you need a ton of pills, but it's not the most effective way to get your minerals. That's why I take liquid, humic, and fulvic complexes. These are full spectrum mineral supplements, which means you get all the essential minerals your body needs in one go without a daily handful of massive amounts of pills or very large capsules or anything else that's hard to swallow. I use Beam mineral supplements because they're almost 100% bioavailable. They come in a liquid form that's easy to drink. It's just 2 bottles. I keep them in my pantry, throw back a shot a few times a day. They're a great way to refill your mineral stores, especially for those of you out here who are haunting your sauna on a frequent basis, or sweating, or doing hot yoga, or anything else. Keep your mitochondria running strong. So if you want to up your mineral game, give Beam Minerals a try. Go to Beam Minerals, B-E-A-M, minerals.com, and use code BEN at checkout for 20% off your first order. Well, if you're tired of spending hours on cardio with minimal results, then listen up, because I got a game-changing fitness breakthrough for you. The Carol Bike, science-backed, time-saving solution trusted by experts for optimizing health and longevity. They use this special form of a workout called a Rehit, which allows you to achieve superior health and fitness benefits compared to regular cardio in 90% less time. That's amazing. That's a lot of time, 90%. Studies show that by doing Carol's 5-minute workout just 3 times a week, you can improve your fitness by 12%, reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and even wind back your internal body clock by 10 years. The science is clear. Carol Bike is your ticket to a healthier and more vibrant life. You got to try it to believe it and to see what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like a walk in the park. When you're pushing hard in those intervals, you're pushing, but then it's just like over and it's done and it walks you through it. It's very motivating. It's 5 feet away from me right now. It's right here in my office, my cool little exercise toy in my office. So you get $250 off your Carol Bike. You don't have to wait any longer. You can join over 25,000 riders and visit carolbike.com today. carolbike.com. I get laughed at, maybe because it's a little bit woo-woo, esoteric, invisible, whatever. But I use quantum energy. I pray over my food when I eat. I try and emanate positive emotions and feelings towards people. I do like little breath work and Tibetan longevity exercise moves to charge up my body with invisible energy. And yes, I even blast my home and my body with certain quantum energy products like necklaces and little boxes that I can use to charge up food. And I get this all from this company called Lila Q. Now, I realize that some quantum energy stuff is not provable by science, but Lila does have third-party studies revealing a remarkable 20 to 30% increase in ATP production, a vital process for cells. Quantum energy has over 59 studies already done and counting. These are randomized double-blind studies these folks are doing for blood quality and HRV optimization. I can't explain it, okay? I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I can explain how quantum energy would increase blood energy or blood quality. Could be placebo. I don't know. But all I can tell you is I wear their necklace. I use their products. I blast my home with their energy. And it's called Lila Q. I've got a podcast with them, a few, if you want to take a deeper dive. But you just go to the website. Check it out. It's kind of fun to surf around. And you know what? If anything, you're going to have some cool-looking conversation products at your house and hanging around your neck. I love them. Lila Q, LEELAQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off. LEELAQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off.
Today's episode is related to a Facebook video / Instagram story I put out last week, in which I talked about how I seem to be consulting with an increasing number of clients who, when they hire me for a consult, it's often to go over blood and biomarkers and, you know, lifestyle, exercise, sleep, a whole host of factors. But one of the things that, of course, get inevitably talked about are supplements. And specifically, it's as though people, you know, have, you know, it's kind of like when you go to a naturopathic doctor or a functional medicine doctor, a lot of times they'll have you bring a big plastic bag of all the supplements that you're taking so they can look through them. Well, a lot of times people are doing the same thing with me over the phone, over Skype. And, you know, I talk to people and they're just like, they have no clue why they're taking what they're taking. They don't know how to time it properly. In many cases, you know, somebody I talked to last week was just taking all their supplements, right? Probably a good $500 worth of a monthly investment in supplements and just putting them all in their mouth with breakfast and swallowing them all with breakfast. And there was a great deal of competition issues going on in terms of different nutrients being taken that should have been taken on an empty stomach, some nutrients interacting with others in a deleterious way, you know, everything from tannins to vitamin C to iron and some of these factors that should be separated, and redundancy in dosages that could have led to toxicity of certain fat-soluble vitamins, you know, such as taking a vitamin D and vitamin K blend and then also a multivitamin, then also an organ complex, and, you know, getting multiple sources of fat-soluble vitamins that are, as the name implies, fat-soluble. So all these vitamins get kind of built up in the tissue and can cause a certain amount of vitamin toxicity. And so that story and that video that I put out on Facebook and Instagram highlighting the fact that you do need to be careful what supplements you're taking, know why you're taking what you're taking, and know how to time said supplements led to a host of comments and questions and inspired me to decide to actually record an episode for you, a solo-sold, if you will, explaining to you a few things. First of all, the supplement regimen that I'm currently on, because I get asked that a lot. What supplements do you take, Ben? You know, with all these podcasts you do and, you know, all the stories you put out, what exactly do you personally use? And I thought that me going through that with you and explaining how I time these supplements and why I take them would hopefully help you do a better job navigating your own wide world of supplements and knowing what to take and when. So that all being said, what I'm going to do today, before I fill you in on my personal current supplement regimen is give you an explanation of why the heck you'd want to pull out your wallet and, you know, spend your precious coins on things like supplements anyways when we have access to real food, and many people do have access to plenty of real nutrient-dense food. And then we'll get into each of the different supplements I take for, you know, the different areas I'm trying to target, right? Like fat loss or recovery or energy or sleep, etc. And then I'll finish up with clearing the air on, you know, this whole realm of experimentation and, you know, which things I might experiment with and perhaps not have as a staple in my routine, but, you know, things that I try as an immersive journalist, if you will. Everything that is discussed on today's show, you can access at the show notes page. And you will be able to find that at bengreenfieldfitness.com/supplementspodcast. That's bengreenfieldfitness.com/supplementspodcast. All right, so let's start here with why you would want to take supplements in the first place. Let's begin with this. Our modern post-industrial, polluted, toxin-laden lifestyle demands more nutrients than food can often provide. So the chronic stressors of modern life, whether it's the iPhone screen interfering with your circadian rhythms and chronobiology, or the never-ending work deadlines, these all can increase your nutrient needs. And that, of course, will increase even more dramatically if you're an athlete or a hard charger or, you know, frequent exerciser, etc. So every day you face hundreds of toxins, pollutants in the air, degraded plastic byproducts in drinking water, chemicals in cleaning products, and pesticides in food, and all this further increases your body's need for vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants. These kind of nutrients are necessary to help shuttle toxins through natural detox pathways and prevent the formation of DNA-damaging free radicals. And furthermore, to make matters worse, when you're eating food, you're likely not getting the full array of nutrients from the food that our prior generations enjoyed. So due to modern farming techniques and fertilizers, most soil is depleted of nutrients more than it was in the past, and that decreases the beneficial vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants when you're eating from these largely conventionally grown crops. Well, some would say that perhaps eating organic is the solution to that. While some studies suggest that organically grown foods contain more nutrients than non-organic foods, other studies have concluded there's no significant differences. And furthermore, for most of human history, our ancestors ate now nearly extinct and hard to find dense, cell-rich carbohydrates in the form of foods such as wild tubers, and cellular grains like quinoa, amaranth, and millet. That's in contrast to the refined acellular grains and white rice that primarily comprise our modern carbohydrate intake. And I'll put links in the show notes if you want to dig more deeply into the difference between a cellular and an acellular carbohydrate. But the general idea is that cellular carbohydrates are starches that are bound up in plant cell walls, whereas an acellular carbohydrate is something in which the cell wall has been broken down, right? So a cellular carbohydrate would be, you know, another example in addition to those I've already given would be like a carrot, right? Whereas an acellular carbohydrate would be wheat flour or refined sugar. And largely the type of carbohydrates that we tend to eat are these acellular carbohydrates, which are less nutrient dense. Now, the other advantage of a cellular carbohydrate is those provide the essential prebiotics that help our probiotic bacteria flourish. Now, along the same lines, the abundance of refined carbohydrates in processed foods can create significant blood sugar swings and glycemic variability that our ancestors probably also didn't deal with to as great an extent. And a glance at a coffee shop display case or hotel breakfast bar that features bagels and muffins and sugary cereals explains why many people need a snack a couple hours later just to make it through the inevitable mid-morning blood sugar crash. And these blood sugar imbalances lead to chronic inflammation and are responsible for a host of chronic diseases such as Alzheimer's, obesity, depression, and cancer. So in addition to the carbohydrate issue, the meat, eggs, and dairy products that we commonly find in grocery stores deliver far fewer anti-inflammatory nutrients like omega-3 fatty acids than what we would find in wild or pastured animals. Speaking of omega-3 fatty acids, most Western diet munchers consume an imbalanced ratio of omega-6 to omega-3 fatty acids. That includes the paleo diet, which can often create an omega-6 to omega-3 ratio of 20 to 1 up to 30 to 1. A westernized ratio can be up to 40 to 1, and the ratio you should be looking for is about a 4 to 1 omega-6 to omega-3 fatty acid ratio. And to make it even more complicated, modern harvesting, shipping, processing, and storage techniques, they degrade the nutrient content of food. Plants grown with modern fertilizer can contain only 25% of the micronutrients of those grown using more traditional farming methods with good soil turnover practices, and nutrients further degrade as they're shipped and as they sit on store shelves. So a fresh-picked apple is more nutritious than an apple you buy at the supermarket in the winter, and that apple at the supermarket in the winter is also likely treated with something like, you know, methyl cyclopropene and can be up to 10 months old, according to the FDA. And the very preservatives used to maintain the freshness of these foods can impede the bioavailability of the food's nutrients and increase your body's need for nutrients to process the synthetic additive. So it's a 1-2 combo. Similarly, any common medication, you know, it's like an acid reflux drug or a hypertension drug, those also have been shown to inhibit nutrient absorption. And then there are precious fat-soluble vitamins like vitamin D. Even though the recommendations for sufficient vitamin D levels are controversial, it's safe to say that most people, based on blood and biomarker data, are not getting enough of many of these important fat-soluble vitamins. And many people are even genetically predisposed to not get as much vitamin D from sunlight as others. And our ability to absorb nutrients from food also is not only increased with our level of physical activity, but it also decreases as we age. So you've got a lot going on there that sets up a scenario where nutrient or micronutrient deficiencies could arise. But of course, you know, a lot of people will say, well, so what? Our ancestors, you know, they roamed the plains and they were highly active and many of them were old and perhaps they didn't have access to extremely nutrient-dense superfoods all the time. But the assumption that our previous generations didn't take supplements is not true. I mean, we have multiple examples of supplementation in ancient cultures. Ancient supplements could include root, stem, and leaf teas that were used for specific medicinal symptoms, medicinal powders ground by mortar and pestle, highly concentrated oil extracts, and just because they didn't have encapsulation technology or Miron glass jars to package this stuff with back in the day, that doesn't mean that these weren't considered supplements. They were just concentrated sources of nutrients extracted from plants and trees and herbs to allow them to have a medicinal effect or a highly concentrated nutrient profile compared to, say, just eating food. We also know our ancestors would do things like eat dirt, which has a wide range of beneficial probiotics. And we see a ton of different animals, ranging from insects to chimps, self-medicating and supplementing by consuming specific plants. And furthermore, the methods that we use, like I alluded to earlier, to gather, to cook, and consume foods are drastically different than that of our ancestors, meaning that we probably are also just getting fewer nutrients from the food that we eat. Another example would be animals, right? We generally only eat animal muscle. We discard the collagen-rich connective tissue, whereas previous generations, they simmered animal carcasses for hours, liberating collagen and gelatin and fat-soluble vitamins from connective tissue. And, you know, this would be similar to, you know, us using like a collagen peptide supplement or an amino acid supplement or a packaged bone broth. And so, you know, it's not that both our ancestors and as well as the animal kingdom don't supplement or self-medicate. We even see examples in the animal kingdom of the use of psychedelic compounds. You know, for example, bees will get stoned on orchid nectar, or goats will gobble magic mushrooms, birds will chomp marijuana seeds, rats will consume opium, as well as mice, lizards, flies, and spiders, and cockroaches. Elephants will get drunk on anything they can find, usually fermented fruit in a bog hole, and they've also been known to raid breweries in India. And, you know, cows will consume loco grass, moths will consume the incredibly hallucinogenic detritus Datura flower, mandrels will consume iboga root. And so we see this often in the animal kingdom as well. We are surrounded by all these different things, from pharmaceuticals to medications to supplements to essential oils in the animal kingdom. And so it's certainly something that is not a foreign concept to take something from nature and concentrate it for a medicinal effect or a micronutrient effect or a concentrated nutrient effect or even a psychedelic effect. And so, you know, I am completely not opposed to the idea of dressing up the diet with a certain amount of supplementation. All right, so quick review before we get into my own personal supplementation protocol. The reason you'd want to supplement is, one, nutrient-depleted soil. Two, the age-related declines that occur in nutrient absorption. Three, poor food handling practices. Four, pesticides, herbicides, and pollutants. And five, changing needs in terms of exercise levels, especially for, like, you know, CrossFitters, Ironman triathletes, obstacle course racers, people doing heavy weightlifting, etc. Okay, so, like I mentioned, the question that I'm often asked is, what supplements do you take, Ben? What does your own personal protocol look like these days? What are you on? So I'm going to walk you through this stuff step by step. And again, everything that I talk about as far as the research studies for the stuff I just mentioned, as well as the links to everything that you're about to hear as far as my own personal protocol, you can find at bengreenfieldfitness.com/supplements podcast. Okay. So the first thing that I target is just my basic daily nutrient and micronutrient repletion protocol. You have heard me probably in the past recommend that for most people, I think that a good multivitamin and mineral complex is a good idea. And in the past, the one that I've recommended the most has been the Thorn. It's called the Thorn Multivitamin Elite. It's an AM formula. It's a PM formula. And what I like about it is it has a few key characteristics that I look for in a multivitamin. Now, I do not think you have to take Thorns. There are other good brands out there. I recently interviewed Mira and Jason Calton, for example, and I'll link to that podcast in the show notes because we actually get into micronutrient and competition of certain components of different vitamins and why it's important to make sure your timing and the way you mix your supplements is important. But the things I look for, the key characteristics I look for in a multivitamin are A, that if it has vitamin D, it also has vitamin K in it, and preferably has vitamin K1 and K2. Most multivitamins will use only K1, but K2 is crucial for proper calcium metabolism. The other thing that I look for is a natural form of folate instead of folic acid, because most of the population, or a large part of the population, based on their MTHFR genetic status, can't really properly convert folic acid to folate. So what you want to look for on the label of your multivitamin is natural folate. That's usually marked as 5-MTHF, so methyl tetrahydrofolate, instead of folic acid. When I look at the vitamin B12, I look for not cyanocobalamin, but what's called methylcobalamin. That has a far better absorption rate. The other thing I look for are any type of add-ins that might make that multivitamin more effective. So, for example, one of the reasons that I have recommended the Thorn multivitamin in the past is it has things in it for the morning dose that help with wakefulness, like green tea phytosomes, and then things in the evening that help with relaxation, like plant extracts from magnolia and philodendron, which help to decrease nighttime levels of cortisol and also balance DHEA levels. All right, so those are the main things. Is a good form of vitamin K, natural form of folate, and then also other things that can help in terms of the way that the AM dose and the PM dose is structured. And based on your body's circadian rhythm and your nutrient needs, it's pretty common to need, if you're taking a multivitamin, to choose a multivitamin that has a double daily dose, one AM, one PM. And for your multivitamin, I recommend you take that with food. That all being said, I'm not currently using the Thorne multivitamin because I am using instead an organ complex. So I'm experimenting right now and have been and feeling very good with this for the past 8 weeks using Nature's multivitamin, which is organ meats. So when I'm at home, I eat a largely nose-to-tail based diet that includes a lot of like liver and heart. And I actually have a kidney upstairs marinating right now that I'm going to dredge in some egg yolk and put some almond flour on and saute up for my family tonight and some butter. But what I've been using are the organ complexes. There's two different companies that make a good organ complex. So I'm a fan of the company Paleo Valley and also the company Ancestral Supplements. So the one I'm using right now is from Ancestral Supplements. It's a blend of grass-fed liver, grass-fed heart, grass-fed kidney, grass-fed pancreas, and grass-fed spleen, all from freeze-dried New Zealand grass-fed beef. Now, a good organ complex is giving you pretty much everything you're going to get in a multivitamin: bioavailable heme iron, selenium, enzymes, coenzyme Q10, vitamin B12 complex, good spectrum of fat-soluble vitamins. So for your basic daily needs, that is what I recommend would be an organ complex or a multivitamin complex, and those would be taken with food. And very similar to how I do if I'm doing a multivitamin, my dose with breakfast and my dose with dinner, the same thing I'm doing with the organ meats is a dose with breakfast and a dose with dinner. And I skip that when I'm doing the organ meats. I skip that if I'm actually eating organ meats like liver, heart, or kidney. Especially when I travel, though, I'm not doing that. So that would be the first part of just your basic daily needs. Be a multivitamin or an organ complex. Again, for the multivitamin, I like Thorne. I also like the stuff that Mira and Jason Calton make at Calton Nutrition. And there are others out there, like Onnit has a good multivitamin. Let me think about another company. Standard Process is a good company to look for. Designs for Health, they also have a fantastic multi. So those are the basics as far as the multivitamin, or you do the organ complex instead from Ancestral Supplements or from Paleo Valley. Now, the other thing that I use for my basic nutrient repletion for me, and this comes down to personalization, is based on genetics, and that's glutathione. I use glutathione on a daily basis because if you go back and listen to any of my podcasts on DNA analysis, I have a low level of the genetic factors necessary for my own endogenous glutathione production. And many other people can benefit from glutathione because of its potency as an antioxidant. People who travel a lot, especially on airplanes, people who are exposed to a lot of industrial pollutants, people exposed to a lot of even like dirty electricity, Wi-Fi, etc. I think glutathione is a good idea, even if you haven't been genetically tested and found for your levels to be low. What I use for glutathione is a liposomal form of glutathione because oral glutathione supplementation is notoriously poorly absorbed. So what I use is one called, it's made by a company called Alms Bio. I'll put a link in the show notes. But that glutathione also has two really good forms of support for the mitochondria in it, CoQ10 and PQQ. So it's a sublingual blend. It tastes like an orange creamsicle. It's really good. So when I wake up in the morning, but when I'm having my breakfast, which because I do intermittent fasting is typically around 9:30 or 10 a.m., I make my breakfast, and with my breakfast, which is often a smoothie because it's easy for me to have a smoothie while I'm going through my morning emails, I do the organ complex and I do the Alms Bio glutathione. So those are the two main things I would classify as my basic nutrient repletion, would be organ meats or multivitamin, and then liposomal glutathione. So those are the two that I currently take, and that's how I time them. Now, next I get into the realm where I want to get into the realm of energy. Like, what do I take for energy as far as like nootropics, smart drugs, or just general overall energy? The two basic things I use for that. Number one is something that I think everybody, especially vegetarians and vegans, but I think everybody would benefit from this due to its ability to not only promote lean body mass, but also support cognitive function, support power output and increase work capacity, support physical endurance, assist with maintaining hydration within the cells. A lot of benefits to this one. That would be creatine. I take creatine very simple. I don't go with any fancy form, just basic creatine monohydrate. I currently use this stuff by Thorne, but basically I use a creatine monohydrate. The form is called CreaPure. So a lot of supplement manufacturers, they will use a specific form of creatine. And if you're looking at your supplement label of creatine, I think CreaPure is the best. It's an easy to mix, highly researched form of creatine found to be very bioavailable, and it's just micronized creatine monohydrate. Now, the thing to remember is that even though the dosage for creatine for just about everybody is 5 grams a day, you can only absorb a maximum of about 2.5 grams at a time. So this means that if you're using creatine, you can take, similar to your multivitamin or organ complex, a half dose in the morning and a half dose in the evening. If you take it all at once, you're only going to absorb at maximum half of it, okay? And I just add that to my morning smoothie. That's how I get my creatine in. So that's the first thing that I do for energy. And then I also tend to use some kind of a pick-me-up. A lot of times I'll take this in the morning, and sometimes I'll use something like this in the mid-afternoon. Now, I'm a fast caffeine oxidizer. I'm a fast oxidizer in general that's based on a certain enzyme pathway called the P450 pathway. I just have higher than normal levels, meaning I can take a nootropic or a caffeine complex even in the afternoon, and it doesn't disrupt my sleep at all. Some people are a little different. For example, slow coffee oxidizers, which would even show up on like a 23andMe genetic analysis, they are not going to process this stuff quite as quickly and want to avoid anything like a smart drug or a nootropic or even a cup of coffee in the afternoon. But the two smart drug-ish type of compounds, or really you'd call them nootropic, natural cognitive enhancer compounds that I currently take and have in my pantry, one would be something called Tianqi. This one is more of a Chinese approach. It's a traditional Chinese medicine, Chinese adaptogenic blend approach. It is a blend of a whole host of different nutrients, from vimpocetine to ginkgo biloba, astragalus. It's got like 30 different wildcrafted Chinese herbs in it. Now, as you may have heard on my recent podcast, there's a big issue in the Ayurvedic and Chinese medicinal supplement industry right now with contamination and with iron or with liver toxicity. And so you do want to be careful that you get stuff that is vouched for or that is organic or wildcrafted. This Tianqi I will vouch for. It's been a staple in my supplement pantry for like 7 years. I've interviewed the guy who formulates it twice. He's a traditional Chinese medicine practitioner. He's an herbologist. His name's Roger Drummer, and I'll link to my podcast episode with him about Tianqi. We do a deep dive on it in the show notes, but that's one of the compounds that I will take, and that one, for any of these energy compounds, is either mid-morning or mid-afternoon, and these type of things are best on an empty stomach, So Tianqi is one. And interestingly, I was just reading a book by Dr. Daniel Amen. Dr. Daniel Amen has a fantastic new book about the brain. Ironically, I don't have it on me right now, and I don't remember the title. It's Dr. Daniel Amen's new book. And most of the ingredients in Tianqi are in that book as things recommended for TBI, for concussion, for maintaining cognition with aging, for shutting down brain inflammation, etc. So it's a very good blend. The other one that I'll use, and I'll kind of like go back and forth between these two, is made by the company Neurohacker Collective, and it's called Qualia Mind. I use the caffeine-free version of Qualia Mind, and again, we're talking about redundancy in supplements. This is a perfect example of that, because I have a nice popping hot cup of coffee every morning. So why would I want caffeine in my nootropic when I'm already getting it in my cup of coffee? Instead, Qualia Mind, in the caffeine-free version, again, is the one that I use. It's just a blend of everything from bacopa to rhodiola to artichoke leaf extract. Basically, anything you'd find in most of the popular nootropic supplements out there are in this, but it's well formulated in that it has things like minerals in it, choline in it, the things that would naturally get turned over at higher rates when your brain is working faster. This has in it, so you don't get that notorious post-nootropic crash that a lot of these more poorly formulated supplements give to you. So the two in my pantry are Qualia Mind, caffeine-free, and then Tianqi. Now, the only other thing that I will occasionally use is psychedelics, meaning meaning I will use a microdose of psilocybin or a microdose of LSD. And this would just be once every 3 to 4 days or so, because any compound like that can really turn over your 5-HTP levels quite heavily, can result in some neurotransmitter depletion if you use that kind of stuff on a daily basis. But I do use on occasion microdoses as well. And on days where I use microdoses, I don't use Tianqi or Qualiamine. That's just too much. And let's face it, everything from a psychedelic to Qualiamine or Tianqi, these are pretty expensive supplements, so I don't take them unless I have to take them. But I do use the Qualiamine or the Tianqi, and those I would classify as the energy component of my supplementation program, in addition to, like I mentioned earlier, creatine. So next we get into blood sugar management, which I think is kind of synonymous with fat loss, just because I think a healthier approach to fat loss, rather than like ephedra and cayenne and green tea extract and all these things that kind of give you a sweat and make you a little uncomfortable, I think those are pretty good for a pre-workout, especially if you're really wanting to amp up fat loss rates. But the only fat loss supplement I take is basically blood sugar management tool, meaning that if I can control my blood glucose, it's that much more likely that I'm going to get less sugar converted into triglycerides and stored away in adipose tissue. I'm a big fan of using blood sugar management type of supplement either A, before my most carbohydrate-rich meal of the day, which is always for me going to be dinner, because I don't have any carbs the entire day until dinner time. It just keeps my body in fat-burning mode the entire day, and then at dinner time, I can have my carbs, and those get socked away as muscle and liver glycogen to be used for the next day's workout.
Well, if you're like me, you live a busy life, you don't really have time for many days off. That's why I talk so much about your mitochondria, because they generate about 90% of the energy your body uses, and keeping your mitochondria strong is one of the best ways to keep fatigue at bay. But these little mitochondria, darn things, are expensive to run. They use a huge amount of raw materials, especially when it comes to minerals. The problem is most people, including you and me, probably don't get enough minerals. And without minerals, your mitochondria don't have the cofactors they need to make energy. More than 97% of Americans don't get enough potassium. About 80% are deficient in magnesium. 40% are deficient in calcium. And those are three of the big ones. There's close to a dozen other trace minerals that are important for mitochondrial function, and most of us don't get enough of them, and you definitely can't get them from, say, table salt. It turns out that trying to take all the minerals you need by taking single mineral supplements isn't only hard, because you need a ton of pills, but it's not the most effective way to get your minerals. That's why I take liquid, humic, and fulvic complexes. These are full spectrum mineral supplements, which means you get all the essential minerals your body needs in one go without a daily handful of massive amounts of pills or very large capsules or anything else that's hard to swallow. I use Beam mineral supplements because they're almost 100% bioavailable. They come in a liquid form that's easy to drink. It's just 2 bottles. I keep them in my pantry, throw back a shot a few times a day. They're a great way to refill your mineral stores, especially for those of you out here who are haunting your sauna on a frequent basis, or sweating, or doing hot yoga, or anything else. Keep your mitochondria running strong. So if you want to up your mineral game, give Beam Minerals a try. Go to Beam Minerals, B-E-A-M, minerals.com, and use code BEN at checkout for 20% off your first order. Well, if you're tired of spending hours on cardio with minimal results, then listen up, because I got a game-changing fitness breakthrough for you. The Carol Bike, science-backed, time-saving solution trusted by experts for optimizing health and longevity. They use a special form of a workout called a rehit, which allows you to achieve superior health and fitness benefits compared to regular cardio in 90% less time. That's amazing. That's a lot of time, 90%. Studies show that by doing Carol's 5-minute workout just 3 times a week, you can improve your fitness by 12%, reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and even wind back your internal body clock by 10 years. The science is clear. Carol Bike is your ticket to a healthier and more vibrant life. You got to try it to believe it and to see what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like a walk in the park. When you're pushing hard in those intervals, you're pushing, but then it's just like over and it's done and it walks you through it. It's very motivating. It's 5 feet away from me right now. It's right here in my office. My cool little exercise toy in my office. So you get $250 off your Carol Bike. You don't have to wait any longer. You can join over 25,000 riders and visit carolbike.com today. carolbike.com.
But what I also use fat loss supplement for is prior to cold thermogenesis, like before a cold bath or a cold soak or a cold water swim, because it can amplify the conversion of white adipose tissue to brown fat, to metabolically active brown fat. So the one that I use is made by my own company, Keon, and it is Keon Lean, which is a blend of wild bitter melon extract and rock lotus extract. So both of those can support really good blood sugar management and glucose metabolism and a healthy response to insulin. The other cool thing about wild bitter melon extract is it's an AMPK activator. So it activates some of the same cellular machinery pathways as, say, like fasting or exercise does. So that is my preferred fat loss management tool. But again, timing is important. So again, I like to use any type of blood sugar management control formula prior to cold thermogenesis or prior to my most carbohydrate-rich meal of the day, which for me is dinner. Okay, next we get into recovery. There are three things that I take to enhance recovery, but I do not take these right after an exercise session because anything that accelerates recovery often is acting as an antioxidant. And you actually don't want to shut down inflammation in an immediate post-workout scenario, meaning any type of antioxidant-rich formula you should save for at least 2 hours after your exercise session has finished. So because of that, I don't time any of these couple of compounds I'm going to tell you that I use for recovery right after my exercise session. Instead, I will take them at a separate time of day. So number one is fish oil. As I alluded to earlier, the omega-6 to omega-3 ratio, even in healthy eaters such as paleo diet eaters who are having bacon and avocado and eggs and meat and seeds and nuts, the omega-6 to omega-3 ratio is way out of whack. Furthermore, based on a recent massive meta-analysis on the benefits of marine oils for cardiovascular function, I'm a huge fan of this also just for general heart health. But I take an omega-3 fatty acid supplement. I take fish oil. I take a pretty decent amount of fish oil. I take about 8 grams a day, which is nowhere near what, the mega dose of 20 to 40 grams that a guy like Charles Poliquin, may he rest in peace, would have recommended. But it is a little bit higher than the 1 to 2 grams that most people take. And I test my blood and biomarkers on a quarterly basis. And my omega-3 fatty acid index is stellar in terms of my omega-3 to omega-6 fatty acid ratio and my overall amount of omega-3s. So the one that I use right now for a fish oil is called Super Essentials. It's not the only good fish oil. Nordic Naturals has a great fish oil. Carlson's is a very good fish oil. Thorn has a great fish oil. But the reason that I like the Super Essentials and use about 8 capsules of that with breakfast because, and again, this is a timing thing, ideally a fat-based supplement like that should be taken with a meal, is because the EPA to DHA ratio is really good. It's a 1-to-1 EPA to DHA ratio, meaning they add extra DHA to it. And then they add some of these plant essential oils that are also very important. Particularly, they have borage oil in there mixed to tocopherol of vitamin E from a plant-based source and then some plant phytosterols as well as astaxanthin to keep the fish oil from being oxidized. Now, I still, as everyone should, keep my fish oil in the refrigerator so that it can't be oxidized by heat, but I like the idea of a fish oil having added antioxidant to keep the fish oil from getting rancid, such as tocotrienols, tocopherols from vitamin E, astaxanthin, etc. And the marine-based oil or the plant-based oil that they add to this as well makes it more of a full-spectrum fatty acid profile. So the one that I use is Super Essentials. Again, Thorn is good, Nordic Naturals is good, Carlson's is good, and I take that in the morning with breakfast. The other recovery supplement that I use that I would put into the category of managing a natural inflammatory response is Flex, the Keon Flex. So that one, you may have heard me do a recent podcast on where I take a deep dive into the ingredients of it. I believe it's episode 406. If you go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/406, it's a whole recovery podcast special that we did. But it's a blend of tumorosaccharides, so not curcumin, but tumorosaccharides, which I think are better absorbed than curcumin and act far more quickly. And then it's also got an Ayurvedic component in it called Haritaki, which has some really unique joint health benefits for joint function. And then the final component of that are proteolytic enzymes. And proteolytic enzymes help to break down some of the proteins in your bloodstream after you've exercised. The other cool thing about that is it can double up in a pinch as a digestive enzyme, Keon Flex can, because if you take it when you consume a protein-rich meal, it can help out with some of the breakdowns of those proteins. And so it can be something that you consume before a steak as well, if you'd like. And so Keon Flex is the other component of my recovery protocol. And then the final part of me for recovery that would also fall into the performance bandwagon is I take essential amino acids. Many people will use collagen. Many people use collagen peptides. I think essential amino acids, when it comes to maintaining muscle, building muscle, or assisting with recovery, are far superior and way superior than branched chain amino acids, which are essentially just a boatload of leucine and isoleucine and valine that can create some insulin dysregulation and spike blood sugar. I'm a bigger fan of getting all 9 essential amino acids, tryptophan, lysine, methionine, valine, leucine, isoleucine, threonine, and phenylalanine, because you got a lot of neurotransmitter precursors, so you can sleep better. You can take these, even if you're in a fasted state without an insulin spike, so they can help to maintain muscle for a fasted workout. How do I time them? I like to take 10 to 20 grams pre or post workout, because the research on amino acids show that when you work out with high blood levels of amino acids, it is superior. And the reason that I take them post workout is if I haven't had a meal prior to my big hard workout of the day, I know my blood amino acids are not going to be that high. So I'll use something like Keon Aminos to get my blood levels of amino acids high before I actually go out and do my workout. But again, the amino acids are something I will time pre or post workout, 10 to 20 grams. And the main things that I use those for, not only muscle recovery, but muscle maintenance. They can also be used to reduce appetite cravings. They can be used to support cognition because of the neurotransmitter effect. They're also very good for the immune function and the immune system and for gut. It's probably why it's one of our top selling supplements at Keon, because it's like a shotgun for just about everything. So essential amino acids are kind of like the third spoke of my recovery wheel, in addition to the fish oil and the Flex. Okay. So next we turn to the last two sections that I supplement for, my gut and my sleep. So for the gut, you know, again, this is where customization to your unique scenario is important, because I personally, if there's one area of my body that I have tended to have issues with due to everything from, you know, parasite and yeast and fungus infections, from me going all over the globe, you know, swimming in dirty water in races in Thailand and India and Vietnam for, you know, over a decade, I was doing Ironman triathlons and all these dirty bodies of water, to just, you know, general travel, airplane toilets, airplane bathrooms or airport bathrooms. There's just basically a host of issues I get exposed to that really do a number on my gut. And me being raised on a traditional Western diet probably didn't help much either. So what do I do for my gut? The first thing I do is I take colostrum every morning. Colostrum is best on an empty stomach. When you take it, you should break open the capsules or chew open the capsules and let them sit in your mouth for a little while, because the enzymes in your mouth will help to make the colostrum more bioavailable and activate a lot of the growth factors in the colostrum that can then go forward and help out your immune system. So colostrum is basically going to supply you with cytokines, which are the messengers that help your immune cells communicate, provide you with lactoferrin, which assists with iron absorption, which is really crucial for athletes, and it's also a very big part of your immune defense system and the healing process for your gut. It's got every immunoglobulin in it, IgA, IgD, IgE, IgG, IgM. These are amazing for not only supporting the immune system, but also helping the gut, especially if you've had things like leaky gut, mold, mycotoxin, anything like that. Immunoglobulins are fantastic for that. And then the final thing you'll find in colostrum are polypeptides, which are immune system regulators that encourage the growth of white blood cells, right? So you have a low white blood cell count. This can be helpful. And they also help to defend against oxidative stress and support brain health. Colostrum has also been shown, like, for athletes before they do a workout in the hot weather, to reduce gut permeability that's caused by heavy exercise. And it can also just improve functions of gut permeability in terms of keeping you from having a leaky gut in anybody. Okay. So I take colostrum for my gut. The way I do it is I'll take a dose in the morning, and if I'm traveling where I know my immune system is exposed to even more assailants, I take a dose in the morning and in the evening, and colostrum is going to be best again on an empty stomach. Returning to the scenario of don't just pop all your pills with your morning smoothie, time them so you're getting the most bang for your buck out of what you do take. Now, the next thing that I do is I take digestive enzymes. I take digestive enzymes with my meals, not only because as an athlete, as an exercise enthusiast, I'm eating in many cases like 4,000 plus calories a day. So I need that digestive enzyme support. But, and this returns to the aging component, as you age, your ability to be able to digest proteins and fats tends to decrease. And so having that support is helpful. I just feel better as far as my energy levels, fatigue, my poops, my digestive function overall, if I'm using digestive enzymes. So what I use is a stack from the company Bioptimizers. I've had these guys on my podcast before, and it's very simple. They have one digestive enzyme formula called Masszymes. That's five different kinds of protease. I take Masszymes anytime I'm consuming protein. So anytime I've got a protein-rich meal, whether I'm traveling or whether I'm at home, I pop four of these Masszymes to help me digest my proteins. Now, if it's a fat-rich meal, such as my morning smoothie or my lunch with all the sardines and, you know, avocados or anchovies or mackerel or herring or, you know, some seeds and nuts, all these different things that are fat-based, I also take a different supplement from Bioptimizers that was designed to break down fat, and that one's called Capex, K-A-P-E-X. I also have an interview on that one I'll link to in the show notes at bengreenfieldfitness.com/supplementspodcast. But the Capex, again, that's with fat. So again, when you have these supplements, it's not like you're taking these supplements every single meal, but I'll take the Masszymes with a protein-rich meal, and then I'll take the Capex with the fat-rich meal. And if it's something like dinner, which a lot of times for me is a lot of proteins and fats, I'll just pop four Masszymes. Then for me, it's two of the Capex. That's my dosage. So it's four Masszymes and two of the Capex. The other supplement from Bioptimizers that I have is called Gluten Guardian, which is basically just an enzyme called peptidase. Peptidase breaks down gluten. I don't eat a lot of gluten. I don't do a lot of wheat. But when I do, even if it's my wife's slow-fermented sourdough bread, which admittedly has a lot of the gluten deactivated, because that's what the fermentation process does. It breaks down a lot of the gluten, and the digestive issues such as phytic acids and trypsins, those tend to go away if you're fermenting a grain. However, I go out to eat. I go to steakhouses. I got business meetings. And a lot of times that bread basket comes out, and I'm a human being. I want to grab that salted butter that they bring out with the sourdough bread or the pretzel sticks at the steakhouse and punish a little bit of that. I sometimes want to have like a wrap if I'm traveling filled with all sorts of goodness, but I know the wrap has gluten in it. Very simple. I pop four of the Gluten Guardian anytime that I am consuming gluten, and that helps out with the gluten component. Okay. And then again, that's not something I use all the time. That's something I might pull out one or two times a week which would be the time, you know, the amount of time that I actually have gluten. Okay. And then the last few things I do for my gut is the other thing that I take at least once per day was designed to help to heal the gut from the ravages of glyphosate. Now, even though I eat organic, there's a lot of glyphosate contamination in many foods. Not only organic produce can be contaminated with glyphosate. When I'm out at a restaurant, a lot of times I don't know. And so there is this supplement called Ion Biome. It used to be called Restore. And they changed their name recently to Ion, I-O-N. It was developed by my friend, Dr. Zach Bush. A ton of different research exists on this supplement. It's basically lignite. And lignite acts kind of like colostrum to strengthen the tight junctions in your gut lining. But it specifically was designed to help to protect your gut against glyphosate. All right, so especially if you're in the U.S. and concerned about the amount of glyphosate used on the crops over here, this is one my kids use also. I take a shot of this at least once a day, and it's best timed before a meal, especially before a meal for which you're concerned about glyphosate exposure. They have little travel versions. It's a liquid, and they also have like big old at-home bottles that you can keep in your fridge. Okay, so I use that as well for the gut. The last couple of things I do for the gut would be, A, I take a probiotic if I am traveling because I don't eat a lot of fermented foods, or at least not as many fermented foods when I travel as I do at home. You know, at home I have miso and tempeh and natto and kimchi and sauerkraut and, you know, some homemade yogurt and wonderful forms of probiotics. But when I'm traveling, I don't have as many. Probiotics are great for the immune system. The specific probiotic that I use has pomegranate extract in it, which is wonderful for helping your gut microbes to produce something called urolithin A, which is a longevity enhancing compound. And it also has the L-reuteri, R-E-U-T-E-R-I form of bacteria in it, which in and of itself is wonderful for oxytocin, for general wellness, for hair health, for skin health, a ton of different benefits to that one. You may have heard me talk in the past about Dr. William Davis's homemade coconut yogurt recipe, where you take L-reuteri capsules from, you know, Amazon, for example, and you blend them with coconut milk and you dehydrate it for about 100 degrees or put in the oven for about 100 degrees and create your own homemade yogurt to get that concentrated L-reuteri. Well, if you didn't want to go through all those steps, this seed probiotic, in my opinion, is the best formulated probiotic out there. And that's the one that I use for my probiotic. I take three of those, and those can be on an empty stomach or they can be on a full stomach. Doesn't matter. I take mine when I take my colostrum because I like to get the probiotics and the colostrum in my system simultaneously. It's like giving my gut some love right when I wake up and or at the end of the day. Okay. And the last thing that I do for my immune system would be an anti-parasitic blend. And it also has some antifungal and antibacterial activity, and that's oregano. Oregano contains something called carvacrol, which really helps to support a healthy immune response, but it's fantastic as an herbal remedy for parasites, yeast, fungus, etc. I used to only take that when I'd just like be on airplanes or in areas where I needed assisted immune support. Now, I just take it as a daily tonic. The way that I do it is when I wake up, I have this big glass mason jar of water. And in that water, I add a couple of dropperfuls of the oil of oregano, and it just kind of cleans out my system at the beginning of the day. So that's the oregano for that. And I'll put a link to all the brands and stuff that I use in the show notes at bengreenfieldfitness.com/supplementspodcast. Okay, so we've covered what I do for my basic nutrient repletion, right? My multivitamin or my organ meats and my glutathione. My energy would be the creatine and then some kind of nootropic like Tianchi or Qualia. For my fat loss and blood sugar management, I use the Keon Lean. For recovery, I use the Super Essentials Fish Oil, the Keon Aminos, and the Keon Flex. For my gut, I got my colostrum, my enzymes, my ion biome, my probiotic, and my oregano. And then finally, there's sleep. So for sleep, basically, there's just a few things I do. It's essentially kind of like three staples that I take before sleep. Number one is CBD. I absolutely love CBD for sleep. Now, you need a pretty hefty dosage. Most of the time, starting dosage for sleep is between about 40 to 100 milligrams. Smaller doses of CBD, such as 5 to 10 milligrams, are great for controlling stress or even improving awakeness and alertness during the day. But larger doses are wonderful for sleep. There's a lot of brands of CBD out there. I know the wide world of CBD can be dizzying. These aren't the only brands that are good, but the three I have around are Thorn. Thorn has a really good one called Hemp. And then there's a company called Element Health that has a really powerful full-spectrum CBD liquid that you want to put in your mouth and hold for about 1 to 2 minutes, kind of like that glutathione I was telling you about, and you get better absorption when you're bypassing digestion, just absorbing it straight through the mucosal membrane in the mouth. And then the other one is Bio-CBD, which kind of blends CBD with some other Ayurvedic formulas that help you to relax. So those are my three forms of CBD. I'm not particular on any. I just happen to have all three around. But Thorns Hemp, Element Health CBD, and Bio CBD are the three that I tend to use the most. And again, only before sleep, usually in a dose of about 50 to 100 milligrams. Okay. The other thing that I use for sleep is magnesium. And magnesium is wonderful as a relaxant. A lot of people, due to the mineral and soil depletion issues I was talking about earlier or the activity levels, they're deficient in magnesium. I recently interviewed Dr. Mercola, and although this podcast, I think, will come out before my podcast with him, we actually had a big discussion about how magnesium can also protect your cells from the calcium influx that occurs in response to exposure to things like 5G and Wi-Fi. supply and dirty electricity, which affects the calcium channels on your cells to cause an influx of calcium. Well, magnesium can balance that out. So it also, of course, helps you to relax before bed. If you take it before bed, your bowel movements are easier the next day. I use a brand by Jigsaw Health. It's called Mag SRT. It's what's called magnesium malate, which is very well absorbed, magnesium malate. And so I take four of those before I go to bed at night of that Mag SRT. If I'm traveling, I tend to get a little bit more constipated when I travel. When I travel, I double that. I take eight tablets of magnesium because I'm also usually a little bit more stressed out when I travel. And just really, that along with the CBD really helped me to relax before bed. Now, the other thing that I have that I found this to be useful for a lot of people is I'll wake up sometimes like around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And I like to have something on my bedside that helps me get back to sleep and specifically has some kind of inhibitory neurotransmitter in it to help me get back to sleep when I wake up. There's two that I like for that. One is made by a company called Quiksilver Scientific. It's called LipoCalm. It's this tasty little spray. You squirt it in your mouth when you wake up. I do about 4 or 5 squirts. I let it hold my mouth and I just kind of lull myself back to sleep within about 5 to 10 minutes after I use that one. It's called LipoCalm. I fluctuate between that and this other one called Sleep Remedy. This was one made by Dr. Kirk Parsley. I've interviewed him on my show about the formula. He designed it for hard charging Navy SEALs to get to sleep faster at night. I find it works pretty well. If, you know, if I'm using the CBD and the magnesium, I can fall asleep pretty well. But if I wake up, I will use this Sleep Remedy or this LipoCalm to help myself get back to sleep. Now, when I'm traveling, because again, I'm more amped up when I'm traveling. There's more like Wi-Fi in the hotel room. I'm getting exposed to more blue light at night. I'm just not in my element. I actually will take that stuff before I go to sleep. And then I also have it next to my bedside should I wake up in the middle of the night or later on. So those are like my three sleep staples would be the magnesium, the CBD, and then some kind of inhibitory neurotransmitter precursor, specifically something like LipoCalm or Sleep Remedy. Okay. Those are really the biggies. Those are the staples of my supplementation program. That might seem like a lot, but let's count as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Yeah, that's about 16 different things that I use. And that might seem like a lot. I know some people, you know, a lot of these longevity enthusiasts that I've interviewed, you know, you read their books, they're taking like 100 different supplements. I think what I've just described works pretty well for me. That's not to say there's not some other things that I have experimented with. And this is also what I want to fill you in on because I get questions like, but Ben, what about that one thing you did a podcast on that one time? Are you still taking that? And, you know, I put all that stuff into the category of things I experiment with that may or may not have stuck. Like everything I just talked to you about, these are things that have stuck for me that I've just found to be a hell yes for me. But then there are other things that I'm currently in experimentation phase with, admittedly. One example of that would be peptides, right? You've heard me talk about peptides a lot, like BPC-157 or Tessamorelin. For fat loss and muscle gain, you know, BPC-157 for inflammation. I have begun to use peptides over the past year, and a year might seem a long time, but I can't say that they're one of those things that, like the stuff that I just went through, it's just like a coverall recommendation. Yeah, everybody should be using these. I've successfully used them, and I think the best way to go about putting together a peptide protocol, if you're interested in peptides, is you go to the website for the International Peptide Society, which I think is peptidesociety.org, I believe, and you find a physician near you, in your geographic area, preferably, or someone who you can phone or Skype consult with, who can look at your blood, your biomarkers, your genetic data, etc., and put together a peptide protocol that is customized to you. Don't go to some random, you know, Chinese website and grab a bunch of peptides. I don't think that's a good way to go. But peptides I'm not opposed to. I just think that those should be almost considered closer to medication or like something you do with the supervision of a physician because they're extremely targeted, very powerful, work extremely well by targeting specific cell receptors in a laser-like fashion, but proceed with the help of a physician on those. Another one I would say I'm experimenting right now is C60. C60. I did a podcast with Ian Mitchell about C60, and I mean, it's an antioxidant that's like almost 300 times stronger than vitamin C. It has anti-cancer effects, according to Ian Mitchell when I interviewed him. Helps to counteract the effect of damaging free radicals on the body. It can have a little bit of an anti-aging effect for wrinkles. It can have a little bit of a support for the detoxification pathways in the liver. It's impressive, the research that I've seen on it. It reduces all-cause mortality in rodent models. And so I've been having, again, because that's more of a fat-based supplement, I've been having a shot of that with my smoothie in the morning. And haven't done a lot of self-quantification, haven't done a lot of blood testing yet on that one. But that's another perfect example, in addition to peptides, of something I'm currently experimenting with. But again, it might not be perfect for everybody. And it's not one I can say is like a staple of my routine yet. But that's another example of something that, you know, that I have around that I'm using right now. And then, you know, sometimes people will send me stuff in the mail, different supplement manufacturers want me to try something out. And sure, there's always, you know, something in my pantry I'm kind of experimenting with. But what I just laid out for you is my current protocol, what I'm currently taking, how I time it, how I go about doing it, why I treat it scientifically rather than just popping everything willy-nilly with breakfast. And that's what it looks like. So hopefully this kind of gives you a little bit of a glimpse into the question I'm asked quite often, you know, what supplements do you take, et cetera, et cetera. And that is exactly how I do it right now. So I may have opened the Pandora's box in terms of generating a lot of questions about this stuff. And so I'll review any questions or comments that y'all have. If you go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/supplements podcast, I'll link to everything I've talked about as far as the research on why to take supplements and some interesting articles, as well as some of the podcasts that I just talked about, Dr. Daniel Amen's new book. I'll put links to all that stuff in the show notes for you to review. In my new book, Boundless, which is at boundlessbook.com, I also have some really, really big sections on like testing your blood and biomarkers to figure out what's right for you, how to interpret your genetics to know what type of diet or supplementation program is right for you. I kind of wrote Boundless to be a book that rather than gives you a fish, just kind of teaches you how to fish. So if you get that book, it'll be a really good resource for you as well, as far as answering, you know, what diet should I be on? What supplementation program should I be on? What does this supplement do? What does that peptide do? Like, I've got a lot of good info in there as far as self-quantification and more of a precision approach to supplementation and foods as well. Okay. Well, those are the biggies. I got through everything that I wanted to get for with you guys. And you know what? Like 10 minutes ago, my power came back on. Hooray. So now I can go, I don't know, sit in my sauna. Thank you so much for listening in. I hope this has been helpful for you. I know, yes, there'll be a few people who will comment, oh, Ben, you just made a podcast to be a supplement shill for Keon or something like that. That's not the case. I literally get so many questions about this stuff. What I really wanted to do was just give you guys a glimpse into what I'm doing, what my own routine is, and I hope it's helpful. I really do. I do believe that supplements are beneficial, and if used properly, are great. I think if used improperly, timed improperly, sourced improperly, they can be a total waste of money and create expensive urine, or worse yet, create neurotransmitter issues, gut issues, fat soluble vitamin toxicity issues, etc. So just be careful. Know what you're doing. If you go to bengreenfieldcoaching.com, you can always hire me to do a little supplement consult with you. I do 20-minute calls, 60-minute calls. I write out training plans. I write out nutrition plans. All that's at bengreenfieldcoaching.com. And I'll link to all this stuff if you go to the show notes. Again, bengreenfieldfitness.com/supplements podcast, where you can also leave your questions that I will look over. So thanks for listening in, and until next time. I'm Ben Greenfield, signing out from bengreenfieldfitness.com.
Well, thanks for listening to today's show. You can grab all the show notes, the resources, pretty much everything that I mentioned over at bengreenfieldfitness.com, along with plenty of other goodies from me, including the highly helpful Ben Recommends page, which is a list of pretty much everything that I've ever recommended for hormones, sleep, digestion, fat loss, performance, and
plenty more. Please also know that all the links, all the promo codes that I mentioned during this and every episode help to make this podcast happen and to generate income that enables me to keep bringing you this content every single week. So when you listen in, be sure to use the links in the show notes, use the promo codes that I generate, because that helps to float this thing and keep it coming to you each and every week.